all the fries cooks today, chef. Behind.
Not system.
What is this system?
It's Michael's system.
That's Carmen, there's the girl.
Yeah, that's Sydney. She's helping us out today. Michael's system makes no sense. I'm saying something.
Marcus, I say something. You are my favorite bitch.
Oh, your English is getting tight, Zim. You kidnap a ship captain?
Your mom teach me doing sex.
Oh, that's not cool. I'm fucking with you. That's how you do it.
Hey, yo, Gary, you set up a compost for me today, chef?
After I do my thing in the place.
It's very clear. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Yes Chef, our look at our favourite TV series of the moment, The Bear. I'm Kieran and I'm here with Tarek.
Hi.
And Darren.
Hello.
I'm on my second watch of The Bear. Darren, you're on your...
First.
And Tarek, you're on your...
Third.
Third. So yeah. Me and Tarek have independently recommended this on previous episodes of Krusty's Third Nipple. Darren has virgin eyes on this.
And Darren's ignored us.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how many times you recommend it, he's refused to watch it, so we have tied his swimming cap down to the floor, pinned it down. Showed him his boss.
His goggles are fully open.
So that's it. We're gonna do episode by episode. We're going to look at the kind of
dynamics,
dynamics between the characters, the story arcs of each character, what we're thinking about each episode, good scenes that we like. But in this episode, be sure that we will spoil episode one, but no more than that. And that's the way that we're going to do these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, Jeff.
So Tarek, you were the first to come across this. How did it come to your attention?
Anyway, so I seen a billboard with it on. And I've seen a couple of wee advertisements about it.
In Dundee,
the one on Lockie Road.
Right.
There was one that I was driving past, just doing school run and all that jazz, getting to work. And then my brother, Simon, he said, "Have you heard about The Bear?" And I was like, "No, what's that about?" And he talked for
first of all, he said, "Where?" and looked around you.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh, what colour is it?"
Brown lie down, black attack.
So I was ready to run at them, and then he gave us a wee description of it. I was like, okay, it sounds okay, I'll give it a bash. And then me and I managed to pin his ear down and said, right, we're going to watch this. Put the first episode on, she had her phone in her hand for the first 10-15 minutes.
That's more than half the episode.
yeah, true. But we binged. That was the one thing that he said to me. He was like, look, don't binge it because you'll fuck yourself.
It's tough in that little thing pops up with the 5-second countdown and you're like, well, that was just 20 minutes. So I have some more time.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a series.
It's not one that you should have your phone in your hand.
No. You definitely should keep... You've got to keep your eyes on the screen. It makes you keep your eyes on the screen the way that it's done, because there's not many TV series that do the hospitality industry really, really well.
Yeah.
And this takes it to the level that you feel that you're in the kitchen, you're understanding the relationships that are happening, you understand how it's not even the stress, it's the lifestyle that people need to live working in that industry. And this does it to the best I've ever seen it. So I mean, we've talked about other ones like The Boiling Point, mm-hmm. and there was another one.
We've talked briefly about The Menu.
The menu.
I think that's so kind of far-fetched that it doesn't fit into reality.
Yeah,
so
that's like the uber-rich
version. And then what... The only closest thing I could liken it to is Boiling Point's a movie.
Yeah. But there's a TV series called Boiling Point coming soon.
But it's Tremé, and there's a character in Tremé who's a chef. Yeah. And she goes through the ringer, and she's got kind of ambitions, but also kind of aware of her limitations. Mm. She's working long hours. She's like missing a lot of the goings-on of New Orleans.
So that's
all that.
Yeah, that's one thing that chefs are kind of it's kind of well known if you're within that industry that it's really hard to have a relationship because you're working, you're up early, you're making sure that everything's prepped ready, prepped early, so you're in 6, 7, 8 in the morning, and you're not leaving until the last person leaves the restaurant, and then you're starting to clean down. So you're doing a 15, 16 hour shift. There's no time for you to actually have that type of relationship.
With no real breaks.
Unless
you're a smoker, and then all of them become smokers.
I mean, I think chefs
seem to be smokers. Yeah, all chefs seem to be fat, from my opinion. And they spend their life in that place of high intensity, quite quickly drop into, right, this is real life, we need to actually go on. But they're always around, they're always thinking about what's the next thing, what's the next day, what we've got to plan. It's got always ongoing. You've not got a really pause moment where you can actually think about yourself. It's all about the next day, the next shift. And the weekends, that's where your big hitters are always going to be.
Yeah.
And you're working outside of the normal 9 to 5 that people are working.
So what was the experience in there? Does anybody involved in like the writing and directing the show like have experience in those kitchens?
Funnily enough, Fak.
Oh, okay. Oh. So is he one of the?
Fak's the only
Michelin star chef.
He's only chef, he's also like executive producer on it as well. Mm. So he has a role in it, but he's a total bit part player. And in the whole 18 episodes of season 1 and season 2, he doesn't make a single dish, which is great.
And he's just.
But how surprising is that?
For him to be in there and knowing that he's that level of a chef, to actually. The part that he plays, the emotions that he comes across, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
So even knowing that, when you watch all the way through the next two seasons, mind blowing.
The Bear is like American series created by Christopher Storer, released premiered on Hulu June 23rd, 2022, and was renewed for a 10-episode second season, which was then released on June 22nd, 2023. Rapid then, eh?
That was rapid, yeah.
Rapid.
They could see that they've got something.
Very big in America. I think it was like. That became like the, you remember when it was like Breaking Bad was coming to an end, Mad Men was coming to an end, and was like, oh, that's it, TV's done for. Succession, and maybe another show out there was like, oh, this is like the reinvention of the wheel, like this is like the next, the second coming. And so then, oh, these ones are coming to an end, and we're almost at that point where it's like, oh, what have we got now? So
what's next?
Yeah.
This isn't like anything else, though, in that, see these quick episodes.
Yeah.
That I relate that to like Community or The Office or something like that.
Yeah.
And where it's dead punchy but repetitive.
And it's.
Whereas I don't think this is.
Right. So how would you kind of categorise this? Because there's a lot of comedy.
Well, it's
in there.
Funny. Wikipedia or whatever, comedy drama, and it's how they keep saying it. It's. I laugh a lot
through it because there's a lot.
They say that this is a typical setup for comedy. Fucking no way. it's intense, man.
I think this kind of gives itself a category on its own.
Mm.
I mean, it's high tension.
Yeah,
would be how I would describe it.
Whereas you find comedy in that because that's the only way you can break that.
Because it's high tension human behaviours. Which is just fucking hilarious.
Young chef Carmen Carmi Perzato, he inherits his family's Italian beef sandwich shop in Chicago after the death of his older brother. He comes back from New York where he was fucking, he was the shit. He was the biggest chef in the best restaurant in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like with it being such a short episode, you think in a longer episode you'd see him in New York in this lifestyle for a bit, getting the call and traveling down. But no, it's start. I thought I'd clicked on the wrong season because it starts. He's already working there.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'd be working here for 2 months. I'm like, am I episode 5 or something? What do you mean he's been working for the 2 months already and it's already on its arse? Like, it's like, I feel like I missed the whole.
Yeah, you're throwing the deep end, but it's because they don't spoon feed you it. You've got to pick up these bits of information from conversations, from a little quote, from a little quirk, from a fucking a look. That's where gather all this information.
It's great.
That's
if it just totally drops you.
And it's like, no, like, I'm thinking more conventional. Day in the life, he gets the call, and it's like, oh, okay, it's left to him. But no, it's only revealed in a conversation. It's like, with the other guy, why was it left to you then? I didn't realize his brother was dead until like near the end. I was like, his brother, okay.
So you do find out how his brother died, but not in this episode, so we're not going to say. But the very, very start, so you see Carmi, and there's a bear, a fucking bear in a cage on a bridge in Chicago.
I didn't think it should be a literal bear in this show.
Yeah, I know. This kind of symbolizes him as like opening up something that he's aware of. He's called Bear as a nickname, so he's familiar with it to a certain extent, but it's scary. It's scary. He knows this is fucking unknown, but he's doing it anyway. This is him going back there. Because he kind of escaped to New York. It was good for him to get away from the shit show that was his family in this restaurant. Uh-huh. Mm. So he went, proved himself to be a fucking shit hot chef.
And absolutely nobody cares.
That's great.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it. I mean,
his sister really annoyed me. She was on screen for 2 minutes. The sort of whiny voice. It's like, okay.
I mean, the fact that nobody really gives a rat's about where he's done, what he's done, how he's got to that level, and then he comes back and he's just trying to boss everybody about, trying to tell them how to do things.
Minutes, everybody's picked a fight with him.
Yeah, I mean, one of the scenes that I liked was where he's taken one of the pots and he's using it to produce a bit more kind of food because they've had to deal with less money to buy beef.
He's trying to cook a bit of beef longer because they've not got enough.
Yeah. But because of that, he's took somebody's pot and then she gets Tina's pot and then she gets back at him by taking his absolute worldy knife and just throws it underneath. Just disregards it. It's just like, fuck you.
Again, this is very quick because you're seeing him. He just uses a pot, and there's no mention of her being pot being her pot till later, and she's already moaned 100 times. So it didn't really appear important at that time. That's her pot.
Yeah. And but they've got their system, and so that's the name of the episode. It's the system. It's all about him trying to manipulate their system to progress the restaurant. That's the whole way of
professionalizing.
Professionalize the whole series is more or less that.
He's burning a hole. He's money right now.
Yeah, he's trying to work his way into their system to then build it back up into what it should be and how he feels that it could be.
He's scamming this guy with oven jeans for meat.
Jeans part,
he's selling things. Like, they're obviously Levi's or something, eh?
He's kind of fit. He's pretending they're like from like the 40s or 50s,
but also something.
No, I think they're genuine because he's made his money, man. He's got
but also something that's sentimental like though as well, that his brother's jacket.
Yes.
Which is sentimental, but he knows it's worth value. So he's selling what he can to get enough money to buy more beef.
Him like putting in there was supposed to make it look dated or something like that, like worn and torn.
No, I think that's just
preserve the quality, maybe, or he's just got no storage.
He's no storage.
Oh, yeah, it's very quick, so I thought he was just spamming this guy.
No, I think it's just because he's not got any storage. He's not spending any time in his flat or his house. He's just came back from New York, so he's not really had any place to buy anything. He's not cooking any of his own, is he? No, I mean,
that's how they all eat shite as well.
That's why I'm saying all chefs are fat, because they don't really eat.
They don't have time.
They're actually cooking or good stuff, because they'll just eat as they go. But yeah, the denim stuff, that was quite weird. I didn't understand why that was kind of placed in there on the second watch.
Yeah, and then just kind of got it later.
It's something not to think too much about.
Yeah, true.
He just needs a quick fix.
The fact that the first time he sees his sister after his brother's demise is just him asking her for a jacket that his brother gave him so he could buy some more meat.
Didn't even ask how old I am or anything like that. Yeah.
So that is something that I picked up on the second watch, that he didn't ask her, how are you?
Yeah.
Or are you okay?
Yeah.
Because, we'll come on to that later.
Yeah. But he's so wrapped up in the immediacy of the situation is one thing, at least.
But you can't ask anybody.
That's
what I'm looking forward to kind of checking to see if these type of things actually play out throughout the season.
Yeah.
If people do actually ask, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because.
Absolutely. So, the series has received widespread acclaim, particularly for its writing, directing, acting, production values, and its examination of subject matters. You know, you've got trauma, pain, you've got how you deal with death, and as well as cooking fucking sandwiches, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised, because you talked about the bit, I didn't realise it was just a sandwich shop. I was is it really that intense? I watched Subway, it wasn't that bad. of course, it's not Subway, they made it with actual beef and everything like that, but. Huh.
I don't think
not a lot of food that they're actually giving to people for it to be that
I don't think we all understand, right, it's
two bites,
is how much Italian beef sandwich restaurants are ingrained in Chicago culture.
Yeah, that is somehow, it's got to be done, a foreign concept to me,
it's got to be done that way, it's got to be done right. There's a history, there's a system.
I was actually quite
disappointed that the main guy who hates spaghetti. So I was that's something actually quite good idea. I like spaghetti, so and he was annoyed by it. But then he gets put in his place, and then he goes nah, and throws it in the bin. he gets a tailed off from the other guy, and then.
You need to remember the names. You'll get the names.
According
to streaming aggregator Just Watch, The Bear Season 1 was the second most streamed television series across all platforms in the United States during the weekend in July the 3rd, so kind of a couple of weeks after.
Everyone binged. They didn't follow your friend's advice.
No, definitely not.
And 2 weeks later, so that was the second most watched. According to FX, so it was a kind of Hulu's FX sort of release, wasn't it?
It's Always Sunny on FX Plus or something like that, because they didn't think it was actually going to be anything, and it's then got promoted up to the bigger channels. The first season I'm going to put on at 11 p.m. at night, and nobody watched it.
And available here in the UK on Disney Plus, obviously, according to FX, the first season was the most watched comedy series in the network's history.
Well, they've cracked it to make a comedy series appealing, make it depressing.
The American Film Institute named it one of the best 10 best television programs of the year, up there with Better Call Saul, Severance, and The White Lotus. The Guardian named it the number one of the 100 best TV shows of 2022. Described it as the best workplace drama since Mad Men. That's what it's called, a workplace drama.
Workplace drama.
That's
Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah. Well, that's what the Guardian's calling it.
What do you guys think of the
who
cast?
Who am I to judge?
What do you guys think of the cast? Because, like, for me, it's a bit... I didn't really recognise anybody.
I didn't recognise anybody
apart
either.
From somebody who we've not seen yet.
Well...
And I'm meaning...
Oh, yeah, in the first season.
In the first season, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only person that you're... Well, I've truly recognised as well. Yeah.
Isn't Jeremy... I want to say he's from, like, Shameless or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He did. He played Lip in right. Shameless in the, in the American...
I never watched it, but I know that's what he's from.
Right.
So, I don't know, he has a very... He's got that Timothy Chalamet very unique face to him, but... But Chalamet kind of looks like happy. He looks more traumatized at all times. He's got that 1,000-yard stare, so that's probably why they cast him. Like,
yeah.
You look like you've seen some shit. Like, yeah. Everybody else,
he knows what's happened in them.
Yeah.
No idea about everybody else. But I think that's probably better if they start filling it up with stars. Then it's like, I guess they probably have humble beginnings, as you're saying. You can't.
I mean,
everybody too, but if you start having too many familiar faces, it might take away from, like, the seriousness of it.
It's good because in the second season, you start getting a couple of more stars in there, but they're well placed.
Okay.
And it's not well kind of, it's not thrown in your face.
It's not overpowering.
It's not overpowering. It's just they were the right actors for the job.
Yeah. I just don't want people kind of get on the bad wagon. Actors, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, not throwing them in there.
It's not
in your face. Yeah.
It's not DeVito jumping in. It's not that level.
Well, I'm thinking like late term Office, when it was just like, oh, here's Will Ferrell.
Nah.
It's not like that. I'll throw a couple of other things that Jeremy Allen White's been in, okay?
Okay.
Amazon Prime series called Homecoming.
No,
movies called After School, 12, Bad Turn Worse, After Everything, The Rental, and Fremen.
I've not seen any of them,
no.
But I will try and pick one of them up and just
I don't know.
See what he's like.
I don't know if I want to see it. Here, bear in mind, I'm going to say this loads of times. After season one ended, I didn't want there to be a season two.
That was my exact quote after recommending this on the podcast.
We'll get to that.
I said... Don't do a second season.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. It's so good.
But I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
I'm fucking glad you did.
So is that like your faith restored in the creators?
I think it's in good hands. For that way.
Yeah.
And do you think it was like a lack of like studio meddling? They kind of just left them to it. I know when a show gets big, it's now a property. It's now like it's something that's stock. And then it's like
just like because what I said, they've brought in bigger names, but they've done it well. So
even the creative process where it's like this is now the most viewed one ever. Okay, we've got to be bigger and better.
Yeah. Nah, there's nothing like
no,
that.
We're gonna have to be careful and say this. And
but there's something that happens in the last episode of season two that when I watched the first episode of season one, I was like, holy shit, is this a master plan? All along.
Is it a ball breaker?
He comes back! No. It's pinboard material. Like, just remember that. And it's not even a spoiler. I might even mention it.
I don't know. I guess the whole point is me. Like you guys will have pinboards. You'll put it on your notes. Then you just
I've got a notes section of this.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I guess you'll wait to see if I kind of walk into the pitfall or notice it as well. Like,
right.
Okay.
I might keep that. But so
as soon as I finished season two, I just went right back to the start, just so I can catch up. Yeah.
So we've done Jeremy Allen White. His character, like, he's worked at Noma in Denmark. He's got a James Beard Award for Rising Star Chef. But in the eyes of his cousin, restaurant manager, best friend of the dearly departed Michael, Richie Jeremovich, played by Ebon Moss Bachrach. I said that, it's just as bad as you said in the last episode.
Yeah.
He is just a little shit who's running the business into the ground. Cherimovic is the kind of de facto manager of the restaurant, Michael's best friend. I think, actually, first, best known for playing the role of David Lieberman in The Punisher, yeah, and Desi Harpin in Girls. He also played Avril Skeen in the first season of Star Wars series Andor, and Frederick the Bellboy in The Royal Tenenbaums.
I was going to say
Grand Budapest. So, I think Richie's kind of motivations here is he's an outsider. They call each other cousin, but they're not cousins. He's a family friend.
Okay.
Right? So this cousin is a term of affection rather than one that's, like, true.
It's not much affection.
I know. But essentially, I think Richie is trying to maintain his place in the hierarchy of the business and the family by being who he thinks Michael kind of wanted him to be, and who, so this ball breaker, this like hard ass, yeah, this. But he kind of kind, he's no really got any talent. He's no, like, people didn't look at him as being anybody who's got any skills necessarily. But they like him as. I think, yeah, the rest of the staff like him.
First episode impressions of that, I have no idea what the brother was previously like or what him be. It seems like everyone's in this fuck Carmi club, and then this guy, Richie, is the president of it. And like everybody actually just loves each other. And Richie, I don't know if it's just his point of view, but he said, you always started losing money when you came along.
Aye.
So it seems like it was all going fine and dandy until,
or he didn't know that they were losing money, and he
explains like well, there's not as much money as you think there is in this place. I think they trusted Michael to deal with
to
a lot
be
of
making
this stuff.
Sure that everything was going nice and smoothly,
keeping the lights on.
Yeah, he sugarcoated and everything for,
yeah. And he sees, because he's like, well, we've no got that because there's no money. I kind of get you a mixer because there's no money. That sort of thing.
But then he says, look, I see that the mixer's broke, but don't, trust me, you will get a mixer, and we'll get this kind of sorted. So he's got that, he does have that calming presence, but he's not built up that trust with each member of staff, and each member of staff is still worried that he's just going to come in and just try and fuck things up. And they've got a nice, environment. Everything's going well for each person individually, because the previous person, Cammy's brother, was keeping them happy,
looking after
them, but not involving them in the exact details.
They seem like real kind of grounded, salt the earth type people, and they think Cammy's like this posh twat. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's got a bobby station.
You come here with your fancy
foie gras,
and all that stuff.
Some great fucking lines in this.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant lines.
We'll crack on. So there's also Tina is one of the chefs. She's the one that hides the knife. Absolutely hates her. She's like Chief Billy.
See, honestly, the little lines that Tina has throughout the season.
Yeah,
she's gets me almost to tears. A few times.
You've introduced her. She's just astounded that somebody would call her chef. So she just says, "You mean Jeff?" And that's just a joke that plays out, and it doesn't stop. I think it keeps going through the whole thing.
I call Izzy Jeff all the time.
Did you pick up on that?
No.
So like, Carmi says, "Yes, chef," and she says, "Who are you calling Jeff?" Basically, and she confuses the words, or maybe on purpose confuses the words. So she was saying Jeff.
And then I thought she was just doing that. I don't speak any English, but she actually
does that a bit.
So
he
says that, he shouts out, he's like, "I call everybody chef as a term of respect because I want you to respect me," type thing. And she's just like, "Yeah,
okay, Jeff." Again,
Jeff.
Following on this thing. Right, so Carmi hires somebody to come in, Chicago native Sydney Adamu, who wants to help him fix the restaurant. She is trained at the Culinary Institute of America, CIA.
CIA.
Motherfucker.
So CIA trained.
She's actually in real life a comedian.
Huh?
Yeah, she's like a comedian, a writer, everything like that. She's been in a few things I don't think you're necessarily going to know, but she's voiced Gloria Grant in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Do you
Gloria Grant?
Remember which one
Who's
that
Gloria
is?
Gloria Grant?
I don't remember that one.
Do you know, I think it's, do you know...
is that the AI?
Gwen goes and befriends this new kind of group.
Hold on, I've not seen the second one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's no point.
really? Okay, anyway. Yeah. And April O'Neil in the new Turtles movie. Oh, she voices both of them.
I've still not seen that either.
Almost immediately, for me, she comes across as somebody who's like really kind of genuine.
Yeah.
She's got this manner about her that's so kind of calm and you know, in this ferocious environment. She
gets it quite quickly.
Yeah.
She comes in and she gets that there's a lot of kind of high... a lot of big personalities within that area, and she understands that none of them understand Cammy and can really get on the same level as him, but she's the one person that can get on the same level as him quite quickly. And
well, it seems like he's just trying to get in people that, you know, have also trained the chefs and try to get these people out.
Well, she could be,
yeah. She could be a threat, yeah.
I like how you're seeing that for the
like, assimilate people that actually want to have a clean kitchen instead of a dirty one.
Aye.
With the off the floor and all that kind of stuff.
So she's staging, right, and that's a term, but she's basically doing this for free. She's coming in like an intern, non-paid thing, just to learn, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that a sandwich shop is advertising for a sous chef is like, is wild in its own right. Anyway,
I don't really know what
we asking for Jamie Oliver
CDP,
to come down.
Okay. So like the head chef, and then the sous chef's the person that's just underneath it.
Yeah, just a direct assistant to them.
So it's kind of very high in command.
So she's kind of leapfrogged everyone else?
Well, at this moment in time, she's not. She's just came in right at the bottom.
Okay.
Because she's not getting paid to be there.
She's not getting paid, but she's understood to have a good bit of knowledge.
Not just about, this is important though, not just about skills, but about how to run a business.
Yeah.
Because at this CIA...
The CIA,
oh,
is, yeah, well, it's all...
She's not learning much here.
No, she's not, no. She's here to establish herself.
Yeah.
Is establish herself and learn from what she sees as the master of chefs, because Cammy... What she knows, and she says that to him, she's like, well, why are you here?
And yeah, he should have left him high
and
dry.
And and he was just like, well, he kind of he just leaves her with that kind of comment of why are you here, because he doesn't really, you're not close enough to me to understand why I'm actually here.
Yeah.
And he just kind of breezes past it, but I can't remember what his comment is back to her. It's kind of like, so why are you here? So I'm just here to make food,
I'm just here to make sandwiches.
Just to make sandwiches, yeah. And he just kind of walks off. But
she's amazed to see him in a place, I guess.
She's like, look, I've been wanting to eat your food because you're a chef of this caliber. Mm-hmm. Why am I seeing you in this fucking place? Why? Why have I had to come to this place to find
also,
you?
Also, he's got sentimental ties to the place.
She's dropped her levels to see that boy.
And she's got sentimental ties to the place as well, because her dad took her every Sunday.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Sydney. I called about the soup position. I'm staging today.
Right.
You said
shit,
I could
sorry,
today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carmi, hey. Here, you give me your...
Yes.
Thank you.
Linear, smoke, evac, that's some serious heat. What's UPS? That's in Chicago, or?
United Parcel Service.
Shit.
The one.
That's the UPS.
The mail, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you do for them?
Drove. Paid my way through culinary school, so.
CIA?
CIA, yeah.
Okay, so what are you doing here?
You know, this was my dad's favorite spot when I was a kid. Come here every Sunday. Special place.
Good. Okay, so you know the drill. You're gonna make family. It's meat plus three, and we eat around two.
Yeah, heard. Dope. Cool.
What's up?
Can I just like ask you a question, maybe?
Of course, yeah.
I know who you are.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're the most excellent CDC at the most excellent restaurant in the entire United States of America. So, what are you doing here, I guess?
Making sandwiches.
I wasn't sure if that was an actual true statement that she said. I thought it was just kind of, she was saying that as
maybe
part of the interview.
Maybe.
Because there's nothing that, unless I've missed that, which all we have, well, we pick that back
up. I mean, this might be a bit spoiler, but was it actually successful before?
It's perceived to be.
It's still open.
Yeah.
I guess I wanted to know if the brother was doing a good job before he died.
I think his heart was in the right place, but his methods were questionable.
Okay. Well, I guess it's one of those shows where, like,
nobody
isn't deeply flawed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. There's a great scene for me, and it's the one that we've kind of talked about already, where, you know, the knife is missing, the pot is going on, the spaghetti chat's going on, the system chat's going on, and it's all going on. And there's a good video on YouTube that I've watched where this guy like breaks it down and explains why that. In that scene, you learn so much. You learn about the dysfunction in the staff. You learn about the unprofessionalism in the restaurant. You learn about Carmi's, like, everything he says is about trying to improve the function, the professionalism and everything. And you just learn all this in quick-fire conversations. Everything he says, so where's the knife? This should be there. Why aren't you calling each other chef?
Clean your stations.
Clean your stations.
Yeah.
And then you've got Richie constantly fighting back.
And just talking nonsense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got staff who are like, no, this is the way I've always done it. So there's things that are fundamentally wrong there. And I say wrong, but
That's how they've done it, but
he is looking at it from a point of view of, this is going to work if you listen to me.
It's like, do as I say, man, and we will be good.
Yeah.
Did we go into a favourite line yet?
No, we'll get that. It calms down a bit, right? And this is where Sugar comes in, his sister. There's a different song. So up until now, all you've heard is New Noise, right? That really fast paced, that one, right? But then you get like this soft, like, acoustic song. Sugar comes to the back door, so you have the first interaction between Carmi and Sugar, right? Marcus, the bread chef, picks up the book, which Richie's already fucking destroyed because he says,
"It's shit.
This is shit. You're just a pompous twat by fucking even writing this." Throws it away. Marcus has picked it up and is looking through it for inspiration. All this is kind of happening.
What's the book?
It's a book that Carmi's written a book, and it's about his recipes or something.
I'm not sure. I didn't even think it was his book.
Or is it a book he's brought then?
It
was a book that he's brought, but when he opened it up, it had like
pictures.
It had the certificate to say that he was the CDC of the best restaurant in the world.
University portfolio. Like, I mean, like, from all his cooking teaching days.
Oh, he's just his black book almost.
It might be his published book.
I think it's
then,
published book
in the middle
inside.
Of it, there's one page where it's got his.
Nah, that's a slip that's in there. That's not part of the book.
It's a bookmark.
Yeah.
But when he opens up, it's the certificate of him being.
Is that surprising? I thought they
could. No. But what I mean is, like, for me, this is when, like, all you've had is antagonising, right? And this is the first sign of.
Yeah.
This program has a bit of heart. This is going to open up. This is going to settle down, and there's a bit of light here. And.
It gives him a slight glimpse into, actually, there's somebody that's interested in
Carmi and what he can bring to this.
There's a family member who actually likes him.
That's the very first glimpse that you actually get of actually somebody's interested in where we are going to go.
What could be built? Yeah.
What could be built on this?
I'm not just a pretentious fucking twat here. I know what I'm talking about.
If that was Tina, she would have picked up and maybe launched it.
But
just at this moment in time, he's opened his eyes.
Next, that's family's it. Up. We've heard that up until this point a few times. You're on family. Meeting three veg, two veg, something like that.
One meat and three other different ingredients. That's all you're allowed to use for family.
Okay.
So you're not using anything that we can sell and we can kind of build.
You've mentioned it a few times with Tanel, but there is basically one of the chefs cook for the rest of the team. So there is downtime because they've come in, they've prepped, they've done that, they've talked about the menu.
It's your main meal.
And then you sit down and then you have a meal together. And it's almost like a rule.
Yeah.
In this set, I don't know if it's... Well, elsewhere,
most places that have worked, you always have your time frame where you're going to be able to eat, and it's always between like one and three, four-ish service. You get your food in, and then you make sure all your prep's done before that, and then you're ready to go.
And then another kind of thread to this is like Sydney staging and being there for the first time. She's on it. She's got to impress.
I'm here to get Carmi's eye.
He doesn't eat it. He looks at it. He's like, Tina tries to offer him it because she potentially doesn't like it. And there's
is that the one that Richie comes back and eats later at the end of the episode?
No, that's Carmi's. Carmi's just making the new meat.
Okay.
Because he's had to buy this.
And he's distracted by the queue outside, the people getting rowdy outside. The ball bearing queue.
I was more interested in what was going to be when they actually came in the restaurant and then it ended. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then it ends again with a recurrent argument about spaghetti. Marcus tells Carmi that he was right about the steam tray.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the point, but you're right, when he picked up the book, that's probably the point.
But he picks up the book, but that's where it's like, it's obvious. You can throw down, huh?
And then it's just kind of, it's just the one line that he says to him, and you don't pick up on it until he actually comes back and he's just like, okay, I put that water in the bottom of the oven. Look at that, taste it. And he tastes it. And he's like, yeah, that's how it's meant to be. And he just kind of gives it back. And then he's like, oh shit, this boy's got talent. For one line, he's told me how to make this bread. And this bread tastes that good because he's just said that one line to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay attention.
And another thing I got from that is the whole, like, that's wrong. Do it again. No questions asked, just do it again. Uh-huh. And that's the culture there that he's trying to implement.
Yeah.
So, like, no, good try, do it again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've fucking been making bread, not do it again. I know.
Yeah. Right? I'm going to get you. Yeah. Till you get there.
And then it ends with the argument again about the spaghetti. Go back. Carmi kind of opens the tin of tomatoes, and then thinks, no, fuck it.
So
he
really gets put in his place, and then he decides like
says no.
That's it. It's getting put back in his place. Because Carmi's still looking for that big brother figure. He's just lost his big brother. And then cousin's
kind of turned on him, they're so excited with Richie. Like, they got embarrassed, they got beat up in front of everybody.
Cousin's there to actually do that. He's like, oh, I'm going to be your big brother here. I'm going to tell you that you're doing fucking shit. You need to fucking be better and you need to do this. So he's actually going back and he's still weighing up his options. He's went back in himself. He's kind of collapsed a wee bit.
Falling into the same cycle.
Yeah. He's just like, fuck.
No,
fuck,
I know
why?
It's right. At the end.
And then he builds his...
The final, no. Stick by the guns. Came here to do a job. Do the job. Follow through.
That's it. He's fucking right back up.
End the episode. You're like, is that it? I want more. You don't want more there?
I want fucking more.
For the next episode, yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Any of you guys got a favourite line for me?
Yes.
From this?
Go. Yes. Yeah. Merry Christmas, lizards. It sounds like we got a problem here. Any of you, incel, acorn, 4chan, Snyder Cut, motherfuckers, want to get a line? What's that?
QAnon.
Like, QAnon. Oh, yeah. Sorry. What did I say?
Acorn.
Acorn. Well, Acorn too.
Is Acorn not the guy?
Acorn's a rapper.
Yeah, he's the guy who got put in jail. What was the...
locked up. And then he just ends
I don't
up.
Think I don't think it likes to be correlated with the QAnon being
on. I don't think so, yeah.
Sorry, you want us to say it again?
No, go ahead.
That's probably mine as well.
That's
because it's funny and all that, right? But at the same time, explain it to Leah. I had to pause it and say, right, so
let's bring it down.
Incel means this, right? Yeah. And QAnon means that, and then 4chan, that's a no other
one. Yeah, exactly.
And then Snyder Cut, here we go, right? Snyder, all started when took me fucking ages, longer than the 27 minutes of this episode, man, to talk through that line to Leah.
But then you've still got on the back that he's just doing that because he's protecting him. And that's the first time that he's protected him through this episode. And he's taken the big brother role.
Yeah.
And he's wanting him to do that. He's needing that.
Initially he said, this is on you.
He's lost his brother, man. He's needing somebody to protect him.
I just thought it was really silly because like, they're called dweebs the whole time. And this guy's dressed as a cat and he gets beat up. It's like, oh God, you suck. You really just suck. You're looking at this guy. Did get a gun charge right there.
Yo! Hey! Everybody relax, you fucking alright! No! Hey, stop being on the fucking left! My guy, stop being on the fucking
left! Get off the dark side! Fuck you, bro! Fuck you!
Definitely, because it's not even central Chicago. It's hard to. It's kind of like it's on the outskirts.
The area is called River North, and I don't know what that means to any of us.
I want to go there.
No, there's a lot of crime there, so you don't want to
go there, man.
Right, I've created another category here. That's kind of.
But my favorite line was saying,
sorry.
You're my favorite bitch.
Yeah, that was good.
Who said that?
That was good.
I don't know. I see. I feel like every 5 minutes there was like 10 more people in the kitchen.
Yeah, it was Abraham, was it?
I like it was his family, and then this guy comes in. He kind of looks at Danny Trejo. I was like, you've not been on the show at all.
There's
the peers.
Oh, there's another line from a guy.
There's only about seven.
There's another line from a guy who you just see him say one thing. He's gone. He says, "Oh, I'm waiting to see the man about the thing," and he's gone. That was very helpful, yeah. Cheers.
I was like, I got some cost cutting measures here. Fire half the kitchen, they don't do anything. They just show up for the family and to eat and leave. Stop paying these people.
Next category. I've made up one called Scene Stealer, right?
Right.
Yeah. It could be just a scene that steals the episode, it could be somebody that steals a scene. Right. And it is loose, right? Mine's is, so it's the first family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who draws more attention than the other actors in the same scene, just better line or whatever I ask, right? Mine's is Fak, okay? Fak's like the family friend who acts as a kind of handyman.
So he
gets paid in sandwiches. A real Jack Black type figure who's just kicking about. Really fond of the family and would do anything for them, right? So when they're sitting there, the first family, we've said how it's like an important ritual almost, bonding session between the staff, and then Richie starts by saying, I'm thankful for this and this and this. They slag him for his fucking aftershave and the smell and all that. And Fak says, I'm thankful for my cat's Ralph. And it's like, well, both of them, yeah, they're both called Ralph. It's just easier that way. I was just like, oh, that's so fucking, I was pissing myself at that.
It was brilliant.
It's the best line of the whole fucking thing. I
didn't know that he Cammy brought fuck in.
So
there's a line where Richie's like, all you do is hang around with that loser fuck.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, I'll get fuck to go and do that. Fuck won't go and do this.
So you must be familiar with Richie at least.
Aye.
Right, okay.
So
kind of
like,
I never knew that.
So,
and then where Fax lines is like, oh, Richie's just the worst. All he does is be mean to me.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And
he's sad inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just comes around the corner.
Stealer is the food. I like Food Network shows, and it's just zoomed in on food. I like food.
Oh, you're so gonna love this.
Yeah. Make sure to eat before each episode.
You're gonna love this. You're gonna love this.
Mine was when they're standing looking at they're getting ball breaker to, it's Cammy and Fark. They're standing and they're changing ball breaker to, mm-hmm. what was it, 50p to 50 cents to a dollar. And he's in fact saying, oh, look, I'm really sorry, didn't make the funeral and blah, blah, blah. And Cammy says, I didn't go to the funeral. And that, it's just like, whoa, why didn't he go? That one line just kind of, it's like, why?
Many questions.
Yeah, exactly. That's expanded so much. It's like, right, okay.
But it's a throwaway.
It's a throwaway. It's just, he's so quick. And it's like, bang.
Doesn't matter
anymore.
Right, I'll fire through some trivia.
Yeah,
have you got some?
None.
Okay. No. Right. The sandwich shop interior is copied from the real life Chicago shop called Mr. Beef on Orleans. It's in River North, which is the area that the thing's based. The creator was a frequent patron. It's fucking American, it's fucking a regular. And a friend of the owner's son.
Make it as Scottish as fuck as you can.
No hand doubles were used in the making of the show. All the chopping and prep was done by the actors.
Really? Oh, that's great.
Jeremy Allen White and
Sydney
went to a cooking school for 2 weeks. But he was thrown in to a real life kitchen, multiple restaurants, among them the Michelin starred Pasquale, to train for the show. Okay.
See, nobody can get a job like an actor. They're just like, oh, you're being the CIA, yeah, cool. Like, excuses on making a show.
Exactly.
They're just like, in.
The production company's got to pay for this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Carmi's got a tattoo called 773, and that represents an area code for Chicago.
Oh, right.
That's what that is.
I've been wondering what that 773 was.
Right, soundtrack. Via Chicago by Wilco, that's the slow acoustic one that all right, nice and smooth, you know, Sugar's there, Marcus is picking up the book. Animal by Pearl Jam. New Noise by Refused, that's the one that you'll hear multiple times. That's that fast paced one, you know, when shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
Knives are away to start chopping shit. Piece of it, it's like getting kicked. Yeah. Don't Give a Damn and Don't Blame Steve, both by Serengeti, and Old Engine Oil by the Beatles Band.
And was that your last soundtrack thing?
I think so.
Yeah. I did also say to Izzy that after every single episode, the sound on the what's it called? Where the names are coming up in the
credits.
Credits. I said that. I was like, the tune on the credits, end credit scene, means something to every episode. Just so I could listen to the tune.
They always seem so fitting, don't they?
They do feel, they feel so fitting, but it just gave me a chance to actually enjoy the tune after every single episode. So I was like, Izzy, done it, surpassed in the next episode. Just let it play.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good.
I see sometimes where I've enjoyed something so much.
Gives me a little bit of
I do want to just like let it sink in. Let the credits go, just let it wave, and I love it as well. Right, Darren, who do you think wins this episode?
I've written these down, I don't know names. The new girl, they seem to,
Sydney,
to like her food and don't scream and shout at her.
Not too much. Okay, yeah, who do you think wins the episode?
I've got an answer here for Marcus. That's Marcus. The reason Marcus wins the episode is because his eyes were opened.
Right.
Because he's the first one to actually think, right, actually, something's way has changed here. And it's just, like you said, the book, the, just even him saying, like, taking that one line that he said, oh, put the water in the bottom of the oven to make sure that the bread has a bit of moisture in it. And he doesn't even give that great description as to why it has to happen. And it's just like, he does it and he sees it as worked.
I'll say Carmi. He's kind of faced, it's an obvious fear that he's had about working in a place with his family, going back there.
But he didn't get to work there. Sorry.
I don't think that's a spoiler. But
anything, worked in more intense places, so it should be easier.
And like you say, he's got glimmers of hope. No. You know, he's implemented Sydney. Well, Sydney's there. Sydney's in the building. Marcus is showing a little bit of light. Mm-hmm. He has got people in the door. Not perfect, but we've got things in motion. Right. We've seen a lot of mentions of sandwiches in this episode, right? But what I want from you is to compare this episode to a sandwich. Is it a shit cheese and onion sandwich on fucking soggy white bread that you get from a corner shop? Or is it a special, you know, with the whole works, the salt and pepper and the eggs and the...
I've got this.
And from Super Snack on the Perth Road in Dundee.
I do like Super Snack.
I love Super Snack. Super Snack's Mexican fucking baguette, amazing, by the way. Mm.
Yeah. So, go on. Go on.
It's a plain ham sandwich.
Okay.
I like a ham sandwich. So
you like a ham sandwich?
It's just, it's there.
It's there. Okay. Yeah.
That's good to go. Right. Mine's a deconstructive ham sandwich. Have you never been to a fancy pants restaurant where they deconstruct kind of like a cheesecake?
What do you mean by that word?
Yeah.
What, deconstruct?
Take it apart.
In food terms, they take it apart. So if you do a deconstructive banoffee pie,
right,
so they'll give you a bit. They'll make it look
like a
banana,
biscuit,
and they'll make it look taste like a biscuit, or they'll make a wee bit of toffee taste like fucking something else. It's more kind of they'll take all the elements,
that's intricate,
all the elements of that kind of.
So you think this is a really intricate episode?
Eat this more, and you're going to start wanting to gobble this up. So there's a lot of wee elements that you're going to start piecing together with this. But as soon as you start pushing this all together, it's going to taste fucking tremendous.
Right. I'm going to...
So deconstructive.
Okay. I'm going to take Darren's and add a wee bit to it, like a ham and mustard or a plum wings. Right, ham and mustard in it, it's got something familiar but different, right? Just a little kick, just a wee, well done for trying something different and watching the bear here. Or a Plowman's where you've got all these different sort of fucking ingredients all coming together. That's how I'm saying this. It's not the best, it's not my favourite. Ham and mustard, fine. Plowman's, okay, there's nothing else.
No.
But... that's me.
There's nothing else than the plums.
No, I mean if there's nothing else on the shelf.
Oh, right.
I'll take the plums.
Yeah.
I'll take the plums. Right, here we go. Favourite character of the series so far, Darren?
Well, this is where I didn't know his name, but he comes in, does a job, doesn't complain.
Yeah.
Instantly best character. And his work actually makes it work.
Yeah.
And he doesn't cause the scene.
Like
fair enough. And Darren again? These are your questions for Darren.
That's how I'm scrolling to see. What was them questions?
Right.
done.
Darren, rate the series out of 10 from what you've seen so far.
10. See, I do have an issue, it says before, with the attention span and stuff like that of, I don't know, a pilot has to have a hook. And, you know, you see like Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, or even The Boys, you're thinking, oh shit, what's going to happen next? Or even if it's a great standalone. I don't know if this has it. So I'd probably give it around a 4. It's just, it's like, okay, here's some people, you don't really know about them yet.
I'm actually happy with that.
I'm quite happy. Yeah,
it's got
room to
grow.
You're building.
I've got something to build on.
See, I'm not sure how well this is going. This type of TV show is really one that you really want to guzzle. You want to get right into it. So for Darren, for you to have this little bit of time in between, Mike.
I think
you would enjoy it more.
Was it for the show?
Taking it all in.
What do you mean? Like, binging?
Binging.
Gorge.
Binging to a certain degree, but no. We'll discuss this offline.
Yeah. I'll be honest, like, if it wasn't for the show and I watched it, I don't know if it'd even let it get to the next episode just by like, automatic 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I don't know if I'd even. Or I come back.
Okay.
And that's a shame.
Wow.
The first episode.
Like, it's a good, like, it's just my attention span. It's just
it's not
these people here, and then that's it. You know, I don't know.
What to do?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just as well, I've not written a TV show. I've just picked it as good, and I know it's going to do it.
The thing, I'd be terrible, you know, that they'd have to have a bunch of people in for the pilot, and then it'd be those. Yes or no to the show.
Right, so that's the end of episode 1 of The Bear System, really just about establishing like the vibe and the drama of The Bear. I think it does a good job. It's tight, 27 minutes. What happened to Cammy's brother in the original? Will the original beef survive? Does Sydney have what it takes to survive at the restaurant? Why the fuck does Richie have a gun? Find all that and more. And
I just thought it was because of Chicago.
It's just Chicago.
Spoiler.
Yes, Jeff.
So we'll be back with episode 2 and maybe more with Yes Chef later.